There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hi, everyone, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. My name is Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. The title of our podcast today is The Black Widow, Serial Killer Louise Peet. Louise Peet was a bad lady who killed a few dudes. We're going to talk in another woman. We're going to talk about her dastardly deeds. But before we do, let me remind everyone that we are a comedy podcast. We cover true crime and the darker side of history, and we use adult language. So if adult language offends you, then please check out one of the other fine podcasts out there, such as They Walk Among Us, which doesn't use adult language, but it's an excellent true crime podcast. So please check them out. But if adult language, if you're okay with adult language, then please stick around because we're going to tell you about Louise Peet.
A bad woman.
A bad woman.
So I hear.
She's a bad lady. She's a bad woman now, woman.
She is. She was the Black Widow. Let me introduce our panel. We established a panel of highly intelligent life forms.
What is wrong with you today?
To discuss this case. And we would like to have him discuss Louise Peet. And I'm joined by, on my left, the very lovely and talented, a woman who is known throughout her kingdom as Brandy the Benevolent, Her Majesty Queen Brandy the First. Hi, Brandy. How are you?
I'm fine, Timmy. How are you today?
I'm fine. I've been working hard rehearsing. I'm going to try out for Up With People.
I think you should.
Because
I think
that's an excellent idea. I have a bubbly personality.
You are a bubbly motherfucker, and you know, quite frankly, I think they've been missing you all these years.
They have. They're going to make a comeback, and I'm going to lead that comeback.
Absolutely. He cannot be recognized.
You got the shirt for it over to him.
He's not been recognized.
He has not been recognized. He's making slurs against me.
Against your shirt.
It's just a shirt.
What's wrong with my shirt?
It looks like you look like a big grape walking around through here.
Brandy.
It's hurtful, and I feel like he fat shamed you.
He never
and
said
I'm not
anything.
Doing it.
He never said anything about my weight. You're the one that said that.
He called you a grape. Grapes are round. How did you not get that? He might as well have called you Grimace.
I would like to say that we are now, we now come to the conclusion of Brandy time.
Yeah, let's end Brandy time anyway.
Wait a minute. He fat shamed you and I'm getting shit for it?
You fat shamed him.
I didn't fat shame him. You said he looked like a grape.
It's that purple shirt he got on. I don't know what.
You said he looked like a grape.
It's a panty dropper. It's a very nice shirt. I don't know what's wrong with my shirt.
It's a polo shirt. There's nothing wrong with it if you're a yuppie.
Thank you, Brandy.
Okay.
I would also like to introduce a man who is considered the most dangerous man in podcasting today.
It's not, though.
He's considered an oasis in the desert of despair.
No.
He's looked upon as the moral compass of our podcast. No. The very honorable, the Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Walters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm not good, Timmy.
No, for God's sake.
What's wrong, Colonel?
Timmy, the boys are coming home this weekend.
Well, you should be rejoicing. You get to see your twins.
Do you know I was scrubbing grout with a toothbrush last night?
I'm sorry.
No, I was cleaning up a house that those two monsters spent their whole life destroying. Mm-hmm. And it has to be clean for them when they come home.
This is according to Renee?
Yeah. And all they're going to do is come in, take a leak in the bathroom, most of it going to hit the floor. They still haven't got the aim down, and I'm just not good, Timmy.
I'm sorry. So it sounds like you'll have a lovely weekend and get to visit with your
sons. Sounds like you're being a whiny bitch.
We're going to have all three boys there and a dog.
Mm-hmm. But your dog's always there.
I prefer the dog. so that'll work out for me.
Okay.
And we're going to the Italianette Pizza Parlor tonight. So that
very
will be
nice.
Fun
tomorrow. What will you be having?
I will be having
steak. He's going to have steak at the pizza parlor because he's you.
That's going to be a little odd.
I could have a steak hoagie.
You could. So before we get
going
started.
Going to a pizza place, what are you going to have? He's going to be like you, and he's going to have a burger or some turkey on white bread.
All right. So I'm weird.
Which water is yours, Timmy?
The one here set next to me.
What about this one?
I think that one is his, too, that he left yesterday. Because evidently this place is a frat house that you all just leave your shit all over.
Your office is kind of like our happy place. We come here and we can get away from all that ails us.
Yeah. I come to your office and sometimes look at porn on your computer.
Pleasures himself.
I have pleasured myself in your chair.
We would like to give a shout out to a new podcast. It's called Once Upon a True Crime. It's an excellent podcast, and it's available on iTunes. Please check it out. If you're a true crime fan, you will love it. I'm going to give a shout out to my mother because
she's awesome.
She's awesome, and the Colonel keeps forgetting her, apparently. And I got a letter from Lady Beverly. In the UK. We're pen pals now, so I'm going to write her back this weekend.
Are you going? When you figure out how, can I put my letter to Lady Beverly in your envelope?
Here's what you need to do. You can't. I know
you're going to have to go to the post office and get special stamps.
No. Oh. You just put additional U.S. stamps on it and write airmail on the envelope, and it will get there.
Really?
Yes.
Because that's not what the postmaster told me.
Well, who are you going to believe?
I don't know.
Postmaster or me?
I don't know how to do the address.
Remember, I have girlfriends around the world. So
yeah, but you don't send them letters.
You usually use PayPal for them. You don't send them letters. You're not mailing checks.
No, seriously. You can just put the postage is postage. You can just put an additional stamp or two. I would put three and then just write airmail.
I don't know if I believe you. Try it, and then if it works, that's fine. Right. But you only have one stamp. You don't even have one stamp anymore.
Yeah. I know. Dominique took my stamp.
And threw it up and wadded it up and threw it away.
Yeah. She's sending Sarah the logo that we signed
for. You're going to have to go to the post office.
Oh, and big news. Of course, members of our Facebook group already know this, but we are now part of the Acast network. Someone found value in what we do.
I find it hard to believe.
I find that hard to believe.
I know. But you know, we're kind of like it'll probably be like the United States Football League, the USFL.
We're going to have a contract.
No, we're just kidding. We're very happy to be part of Acast, and happy.
Can they cut us?
Yeah, they can.
So. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, we can be fired?
Yes, we can be fired.
Oh, God, now there's pressure.
Yeah, I know.
All right, let's get into the topic.
Lucky to hold down a real job.
Let's get into the story
this woman was.
Of Louise Pete.
She was a bad woman.
She was a Timmy. Bad,
well,
that's what I hear.
She and I have something in common because we both have two first names. She was Louise Pete.
I have three first names.
No, because Vinay is not a fucking name. That's
hey, dipshit.
What is someone, it? Someone made what? Up.
How did they get Vinay out of anything?
Because it was my grandmother's name,
this
first of all.
The shit had to start somewhere. That's all I'm asking.
It was
it's
my
like
grandmother's
a virus.
Name.
Where did the shit start?
How do you spell it? V-E-N-N-A?
Yes. But no, my legal name is Brandy Scott Herman.
Oh.
I have three first names. Smartass.
Okay. Well,
Timmy T.
That's weird. I have three first names, too.
And for your information, I have two second cousins. Both of them are named Vinay or Venna. And her name was Venna.
Why not just name yourself the JJ?
So wait a minute. So you're talking about my murdered grandmother's name.
May she rest in peace.
You're talking about my murdered grandmother. It's not like Chuck's family that just kicks over. My murdered grandmother.
This is
you're
nothing
talking about
against
her.
Name. I'm talking about the name Vinay. It's just not a common name. That's all I'm
How
saying.
How old was your grandmother when she got murdered?
In her 30s, 40s, 40s.
Oh, so she wasn't an old grandma.
Uh-uh.
So it wasn't like she...
She was.
I mean, you know, you get murdered at like 96. It ain't really a murder, really.
Hers was pretty gruesome and nasty. Yeah. So, and they don't know who did it. And there's no information.
Yeah, that's awful.
Is it? Because you're making fun of her name, you fucking
chode. No, I'm not making fun of her name. I'm making fun of the name Vinay. Nothing to do with your grandmother. Maybe she rested.
That was her name.
Yes, but I'm talking about the name in general. I'm not talking about her specifically. What's her middle name?
Do you want me? I don't know, but do you want me to get in all the dipshit Tims running around this world?
So you don't know your grandmother's middle name, and I'm supposed to feel bad.
I don't think she had one.
Colonel?
Maybe they stole it when they killed her. I don't know.
That don't make any sense at all. Sometimes he's funny, and sometimes he's just, you know.
No, I mean, maybe they just, you know, they brought her to the morgue and said, what's her name? And they were like, Vinay, and they just like, fuck that. I'm not even going to.
I like the name Vinay.
How about if we talk about this chick that kills men?
All right. Louise Pete. Yeah. Okay.
I feel like we could
relate. It feels like there'd be a nursery rhyme about her, like Pete, Louise Pete, you know.
Yeah.
Really?
So one of our listeners can make one up.
Yeah, please do.
You cannot. First,
Jen Wicks, please do that for
us. Yeah. Bust a rap for
me. She's making awesome jewelry for dweeb-related.
I saw that.
Yeah, that's very neat. Okay. Let's talk about, by the way, we have DweebCon coming up really soon in October, so we're looking forward to that. The Black Widow, serial killer Louise Pete. By the time she was in her late 30s, Brandy, Louise Pete had left a trail of shattered lives in her wake from Boston, Massachusetts to Waco, Texas.
Oh.
That's a long way.
Think about that.
On the Pony Express.
She was the reason that two men committed suicide, Brandy.
I aspire to be her.
She killed a man in an alleged rape attempt.
Was it just to watch him die?
No. Was it in Reno? No.
It was she alleged she was being raped, but after she killed some other people, it cast some doubt upon her story.
Yes.
Louise is believed to be responsible for at least three murders, and she became one of only four women ever to be executed in California's gas chamber, Brandy. Yes.
I think they need to bring back the gas chamber.
Okay.
Because that way you can see them all turn purple and shit when they get the death penalty. That lethal injection just seems too peaceful for me.
Okay. So let me tell you about her.
That's not really justice.
Let me tell you about her early life, Colonel.
Please do.
Now, she's got a fucked up name.
Okay, well, come on.
Born Lofi? Louise Preslaw.
Lolo. Can we call her Lolo from now on?
No.
Damn it. Yeah, I'm going
her
to.
Her name was Lolo.
Lofi Louisa Preslaw.
Coleslaw?
What?
Yeah, Preslaw.
Preslaw?
Yeah.
As opposed to Postlaw.
Yeah.
So tell me about Lolo.
Okay, she was born in 1880, Brandy.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
In Bueneville, Louisiana. Colonel, of course, you're very familiar with Bueneville.
I've been there.
He
has.
On what occasion were you in Bueneville?
I was down there for a Rotary convention, Timmy.
Really?
Mm-hmm. They have very few working ladies down there.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Do you know what the Rotary Club does?
Mm-hmm.
What?
They spin and shit.
Yeah.
They rotate.
No, you got
it's me. Like you're sitting at a table and it's like, okay, move. And everybody got to get up and
so it's like musical chairs. It's just a constant game of musical chairs.
In a circle.
You thought you had him in a trap.
I did. I did. That's my bad.
All right. So anyway.
I underestimated him.
Louise was down there in Louisiana. She was a daughter of a very socially prominent newspaper publisher, Brandy.
Sweet.
William Hearst.
No. No.
Different guy.
Rupert Murdoch.
She attended, Brandy.
Ted Turner.
She attended an exclusive private school in New Orleans. What do you think about that?
La-di-da. Fancy, fancy.
But Colonel, she was expelled at age 15 for stealing from her classmates and engaging in inappropriate behavior.
She having coitus.
Louise was caught giving oral sex to a boy on school grounds.
Now, dude, see, I
everyone
think
knows you
got to
move off school grounds for that shit.
I see that thing. If they're consenting,
if they're what?
They're not consenting. She's 15 years old.
Well, how old was he?
I don't know.
They're not adults.
Yeah.
Okay, but if they're both 15, come on.
That's 30 if you add
school
them up.
School grounds.
It's 30 if you add them up.
Yeah, you ain't never. Now, come on.
Dude, you go you're across gonna, the street to the La Rosa's like God intended.
Missing economics professor here.
Seriously?
I'm not going there.
No, I'm just saying you're talking about school grounds. You're telling me you never did it on school grounds with economics? I don't believe you.
Oh, I don't care.
Well, maybe you would have got A if you did it on school grounds instead of that B minus.
I didn't get it a B minus.
Hmm. All right. So
that's
she
your
got
sweet ass. I didn't get a B minus.
She got caught going down on this kid, and she was kicked out of school. She returned home.
Go across the street.
To Buenaville, where she enjoyed, Brandy, the life of a debutante. I'm sure you're quite familiar with that life.
Yeah. Me and Paris Hilton live parallel lives.
Now, Louise was not very popular in school.
How? Now that's, how is she not popular?
Because once you get caught giving a
homer
in
school,
probably
popular
you think
with the
that
boys.
Would boost your social status.
Yeah, you think you get some rep points or something. Yeah. The other kids found her to be snobbish, Brandy, and they felt that she would talk down to them. So I'm picturing I'm picturing this little girl in Little House on the Prairie.
Oh, Nellie?
Yeah. That's who I'm picturing.
Nellie giving a homer.
Yeah. So anyway,
Slutty Nelly.
Slutty Nelly, yeah.
Her father hired a nanny to follow Louise all day at school, ensuring that she was safe and all of her needs were met.
What a shit job.
That'd be a pretty much a cake job, I think.
Louise insisted that her nanny always remain 10 yards away from her.
There you go.
I wouldn't even show up.
Louise would often berate her nanny in front of the other children and threaten to have her fired.
See, nope.
But why would they even let the nanny come to school?
Because it wasn't like it was now, it is now. Mm-hmm.
On at least two occasions, Brandy.
Yes.
Louise slapped her nanny in front of teachers and classmates.
That's where you fuck Lolo up. You drop an elbow on Lolo.
Apparently she was, her parents spoiled her a bit.
I see that.
Louise would hand her homework assignments to her nanny at the end of each day and order her to do the work on Louise's behalf.
So she was a dumb girl, too.
Well, I don't know. I'm not necessarily if she was dumb. She just didn't want to do the work.
So. Well, she's smart, so she handed it to the bitch that was going
to
do it.
Yeah, but at some point she had to learn how to do math.
Did she?
Eventually, Brandy.
Yes.
School officials forbade the parents from sending the nanny to the school.
No more
shocking.
Nanny. Yeah. It's a nanny free zone.
They could have sent Fran Drescher.
Yeah.
To counter this.
She wouldn't have put up with that shit.
To counter this, there's a little game of chess going on between.
Cat and mouse game.
The school board and Louise's parents. To counter this, Louise's father purchased a small home next to the school. For the nanny to stay at during school hours so she would be available to meet their daughter's every need.
So you see that nanny sitting out there with like some binoculars.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Periscope or telescope or whatever.
Now, Louise eventually would have the nanny fired, I'm sad to say. When
Nanny probably skipped out of there.
When the nanny reported to Louise's parents that Louise was having sex with a 65-year-old man in Buenaville.
Yes. They didn't like that, did they?
She was like 15 or 16.
So they didn't like the fact that she's having sex with the 65-year-old man, so they fired the nanny.
They fired the nanny.
Yeah.
The nanny should have stopped her.
I know is that...
you'd have been in.
You know, she was a snitch.
Who?
The nanny.
Did she get britches?
The nanny was a snitch. Snitches the girl was 15 years old.
They were paying her to be a snitch.
This motherfucker had fought in the Civil War. She can't be banging on him.
They paid her to be a snitch.
Yeah.
Look, I'm just.
You're just reporting the news there, Walter? All right.
Don't shoot the messenger. Now, because the nanny.
65, they didn't even have the Viagra back then, Demi.
Because the nanny was of Haitian descent.
Oh, she was deported.
She put a spell on her.
Louise was certain that the nanny put a voodoo hex on her after she had her fired.
You can't fuck with those Haitian nannies. They will get some bones and nutsi and shit.
Her parents continued to spoil Louise throughout high school.
Did they get her a car?
They would hold lavish parties in her honor.
How many kids, how many brothers and sisters did she have?
You know, I don't think she had any.
Ah, that's why.
They didn't have 35 nannies. So.
Although not very popular in school. Her parents
are very popular to old folks.
Yeah. Her parents would throw lavish parties and pay her classmates to attend. It's a sweet deal. Get paid to go to a party,
right?
And it is the Paris Hilton there.
Yeah, food and drink.
I'm hoping that with us joining ACAS, that we will they'll be paying us just to hang out at clubs.
Oh, for sure.
Have a little roped up area for sure. Me, you and the Colonel.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Louise graduated high school dead last in her class in 1899.
That's surprising.
Bummer.
And she attended then attended finishing school, where she learned to be a lady, Brandy.
Yes, well, evidently that's
what people did. Is that where you walk with a book on your head? And
yeah.
All
learn
can
how
you
to
walk
sit.
With a book on your head?
Yes.
Can you?
Mm-hmm. I'd like to see that. I really would like to see that.
When he lets me hook my stuff up to his stomach and shock him.
The TENS unit.
Yes, I will walk around with a book on my head.
Happen, because I want to see you with a book on your head. That is something I would pay to see.
I don't know why. All you have to do is stand up straight.
No, you have to walk. You have to walk to and fro with a book on your head.
Do I have to walk fro?
You have to walk fro, of course. You can't just walk two.
You can't just walk two. Yeah. That's only half the job.
Well, I can do it.
And you got to turn around.
Yeah, I can do all that.
So she goes to finishing school.
Pour tea.
To learn to be a lady.
Got to learn to pour tea. Sit with your legs closed, that kind of stuff. Of course, she struggled with that.
Louise was expelled after one semester for sleeping with the headmaster.
From finishing school?
Yes.
I see.
There's a reason they called him the headmaster.
Yeah.
So she was given a headmaster head, it sounds like.
She's getting more than that.
In 1903, when she was 23 years old, Louise met a young man, a dashing young man named Henry Bosley. He was a traveling salesman, Brandy.
Did he start Hair Club for Men?
I don't know.
That's Tom Bosley.
Oh, my bad. Okay. Did he start Hair Club for Men?
No, he was Mr. Cunningham.
Well, I know who he was, but I didn't know if he... Happy I don't know what he did to ensure his retirement.
Now, you would think that, you know, she's found love and all was well.
But alas.
Her parents did not approve.
Didn't make enough money of Mr. Bosley.
Hank. I don't see how you get Hank out of Henry.
That's all right. So Lolo's found love.
Yes, she found love.
But they don't
like
her.
But her parents were vehemently opposed to the idea of her marrying Mr. Bosley. And her father went so far as to call Bosley a cad.
Nuh-uh.
A cad?
And a scallywag.
Nah. Oh, not a scallywag. Wags reserved for the dastardliest of people, Timmy.
Fighting words.
Yeah. Well, maybe Henry Bosley was not a...
No, I'll tell you who a scallywag, the old 65-year-old man who was romping in the hay with this girl, he was a scallywag.
All right.
And
he was a cad.
And a sexual predator. So they're on the same page there.
Ugly word.
Parents were vehemently opposed, Brandy, to marriage. And a father, but Louise married Henry anyway. Oh. Hank. Her father promptly disinherited Louise from the will because he did not want Henry Bosley to have access to his funds.
I don't blame him.
He's a scallywag.
And a cad.
Fucking cad. Now disowned by her parents...
She was 23 at this time?
Yes.
Damn, she was damn near a spinster in those days.
Disowned by her parents, Louise joined Henry on the road. But, you know, he was a traveling salesman. He sold kitchen utensils.
And full of brushes, I bet.
I don't know. But anyway, she joined him on the road, and it was fun life for a while, Brandy.
Mm-hmm.
Being with the man she loved, seeing the country, going to and fro.
And fro and to.
But, alas.
Alas.
She killed him.
Louise Not soon yet. Grew bored with her balding husband.
Oh.
Balding scallywag.
And would often flirt with his customers.
Well, he had to.
Did he close the deal?
But Henry didn't know that his commissions that he were make that he was earning would begin to buy the sparkling luxuries that haunted Louisa's mind.
Mm.
How you like that, Colonel? How do you like that turn of phrase?
Did you steal that from Whitman, or was that your own, Timmy?
I came up with it all by myself.
Damn, that was good.
Thank you, Colonel. One day, Brandy, in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You ever been to Tulsa, Brandy?
I have not.
Colonel, you ever been to Tulsa?
I was in a rodeo one of time course. In Tulsa, Timmy.
Really? Did you last 8 seconds?
He doesn't last eight seconds at anything. I lasted 8 seconds.
Uncle BS.
On the meanest bull they had there.
Fu
Manchu.
Now when you're riding, say, Colonel, do you hold on for dear life? Or how do you have to explain to me when you're riding the bull?
The thing is to let your body flow.
Bull named Fu Manchu. You fucking you idiot. That's flow. A song.
You hold on to the thing down, you wrap it up tight with one hand, your other hand is absorbing the energy of the bull, Timmy. That's why the arm flails like
so
that.
So you and the bull become one.
You become one with the bull, Timmy.
I see.
And you just, the bull bucks, and your body absorbs energy, and it comes flailing out that other arm.
Now, after 8 seconds, you dismount, of course.
Sometimes, depending on how pretty the bull is.
I see.
Perfect.
Normally, after 8 seconds, Timmy the bulls realize that I usually shop for about 12, 14 seconds, and then
after
the bull
8 seconds, the bulls realize they need a shower.
that I
the bull's asleep.
That I.
Yeah.
That I had conquered said bull, and I would just climb off, and me and the bull would part ways with a nod of mutual respect.
I see. All right. Okay, well, that was quite an interesting story there, Colonel.
It was not.
So one day, Brandy, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Louise was arrested when some of the jewelry belonging to the occupants of a boarding house that the Bosley were living in was found in her bureau drawer.
Oh, she found a better hiding spot.
Mm. After tearful apologies,
she didn't mean to steal it,
and an embarrassing explanations, the Bosleys left for Waco, Texas. So they dodged a bullet.
Why didn't she just give them a Hummer and move?
Make it all better.
Yeah.
The compulsion to steal was still in her mind. And in Waco, she was arrested for stealing a necklace out of a showcase at a local jewelry shop.
Hmm.
If they're just going to leave them laying around like that.
Once again, Henry's salesmanship and Louise's tears won her a suspended sentence and a stern warning from the judge. Do not do that again, young lady.
Don't be playing that bullshit no more.
And she's probably over there going, if I do it again, will you spank me? That's what she's doing.
Maybe. Don't that's judge.
I'm not judging. I'm just saying.
The judge was judging.
Well, that's
the judge
his
job. Is paid to judge.
That's his job.
Henry finally realized.
He was a judgy judge.
Henry finally realized that he had taken.
Bitten off more than he could chew.
Taken upon himself a bundle of pure misery with Louise. And he did not like, she did, because she complained. Every time they stayed at a dirty hotel room, she complained.
Unlike your dates to me.
Well, this young lady is a debutante. She was raised in a very good household, a very, well-to-do family. And here he is, traveling the country with his sales case or whatever, going from town to town, selling,
her last name to me?
Selling utensils, Pete.
Oh, yeah. Was that with an E?
Yes. Three of them.
Two, yeah.
So anyway, the marriage is not going well at this point, Brandy.
It is not.
Henry was so busy keeping his young wife amused and satisfied.
She's not even worth looking at.
That he didn't have much time or energy to carve out much of a selling career, Brandy.
Hmm.
The end came, Colonel, predictably swift, a year or so later, in a drab little town. Henry returned from a two-day selling trip to the hotel room where he had left his young bride, to find that his wife was in a state of complete undress, and she was consorting with an unknown male wearing nothing more than a guilty look.
That's beautiful there, Timmy.
Like that prose.
That is some prose right there. Timmy, now, do you have, amongst your degrees, is one in creative writing, Timmy?
No, but, you know, people ask me that all the time.
They don't.
I think that they should award you a lifetime achievement, an honorary degree.
I'm hoping to be, I'm hoping to win a Nobel Prize.
Well, if Dylan can do it, you could do it. Mm-hmm.
So, Brandy.
Why don't you get off your Candy Crush, listen to his prose, and learn something here, devil?
Yeah, Brandy. Not playing
Candy Crush.
So, Henry comes home to the hotel room, and she's banging this guy.
Right.
So, there was a confrontation.
Nuh-uh.
And 2 days later, Henry was found dead at in a hotel near Waco with a .32 caliber pistol in his hand. Apparently, he had decided to take his own life.
Had he?
Heartbroken, Louise sold Henry's belongings and moved to Shreveport.
Clearly heartbroken.
Where she worked as a prostitute until she could afford a trip to Boston. I know, we're supposed to say sex workers, but, you know.
Well, back in those days, it was prostitutes, Timmy.
Okay. So anyway, she moves to Boston. Okay, Brandy?
Because he said, please come to Boston.
She said no.
To be a hooker.
To be a hoe.
A hoe going to do what a hoe going to do, Timmy.
So so now, a young lady of 23, her figure was matured. She had breasts.
Jesus Christ.
She had some social graces that she learned in boarding school.
Uh-huh.
She checked into a hotel in Boston under the name of Anna Lee Gold. Brandy.
Amazing.
To the other guests, she let it leak out that she was an heiress to several European estates. Just kind of drop that.
Just, I'm going to leave just that here.
Putting it all out on Front Street, yeah. Brandon. After a year in Boston, Louise managed to sweet talk an aging bachelor, Brandy.
Surprising.
I wonder how she swept up.
Out of a packet of gilt-edged securities. But the old man found her hand in the family jewel box during a weekend visit.
So she had a hand on the family jewels, Timmy.
And Louise hastily left for Dallas, Texas.
Oh, she let go of the family jewels before she hastily left.
And now... We will sit here mesmerized.
Now, you just put the two-syllable words in there, right, Timmy?
Yeah.
You ain't got no long ones in there.
Mesmerized by the...
the enchanting voice of the devil.
Of the lovely Queen Brandy. Tell us what happens next.
You guys are asshats. The dramatic change of scene meant little to Louise. Her trade...
Did you ever go to short-time hotels with your boyfriends?
No.
No, come on. Come on. Tell us about your first experience.
No.
Colonel?
Devil, we got to know at least your first experience. You can tell us where. You can at least tell us where it occurred.
No.
How old were you?
15.
You were
15. You liked you just liked this woman here. Was it on the
Jezebel.
Yeah, see? Damn. 15
so, okay,
years
you're
15, old.
You're spreading your legs to who? For who?
Now, we don't know. It could have been a different position. But... 15, don't you feel like you was a little, maybe not mature enough yet?
I'm going to talk about Lolo.
No, I'm
We're
just
not talking
I mean,
about
this
my
is
sex
something
life.
I think that we need to cover.
We always share our stories.
That's your fault.
We tell our stories.
He talks about riding the bull.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
8 seconds.
And sometimes the bull.
Oh, really? There you go.
No, hold on.
Okay, 15.
Yeah.
Can you tell us his first name?
I can tell you all of his names, but I will not.
He had three names?
Was it a positive experience?
Sure.
Was it the only time with him?
I mean, I did it again. No.
Oh, no, okay. But you know, sometimes it's not what you
right.
thought it would be. Chuck has that experience. Everyone that's been with Chuck has that
yeah.
same
disappointment. It's like riding a bull for them, Timmy. they're lucky to last 8 seconds.
Jesus.
Dude, I dated this woman once, and she would come in like 3 seconds. I'm serious. She was worse than the guy. She would come like to like, you know, like, she's like, you know, I'm done. You're like, oh, no, that's not how this works.
Hold on. No, it is how it works, Timmy. The horse race, remember?
Yeah, yeah.
The first
when
one
we,
crosses
when
the finish
us,
line.
When it's us, but not with the
one. Well, no. I mean,
she wanted me to stop.
What?
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
No. She was done in 3 seconds.
It's like I got
stop.
Mine.
She only came one time?
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. I mean, she would come just like.
That's
you
some
know.
Bullshit.
Well, it was kind of nice because, you know, the expectations were so low.
Not if she wants you to quit. I mean,
it makes
you
feel it was good for your self-esteem, but.
Yeah, well. You know. Oh, yeah, I did that.
All right.
But, so, I mean, she really wanted you to quit. See, you know what?
Yeah, I mean, she was like, oh, that was wonderful. Wait a minute here. There's more to do.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, the worst thing is, too, when you get in that position because, you know, men like us, Timmy, we
of a certain age.
Men are debonair.
Debonair.
Who knows
have
our way around
a
female genitalia.
Yeah. No,
explain all the female genitalia.
No.
We got.
Look, I got to talk about Lolo here.
Well, let
We're
me,
talking
let
about
me, let
her.
Me and Timmy just finish our point here.
I'll make it quick.
When you have gentlemen like me and Timmy.
Yeah. Refined gentlemen.
Of a certain age.
Experienced lovers.
Mm-hmm. Old bucks.
Experienced lovers. Mm-hmm. And women will often climax quickly.
Oh, like a snap of your fingers.
Yeah, I mean, for us, it's like turning on and off a water faucet to wash your hands. I mean, we know what we're doing. We know our way around.
And then they start following you around like puppies.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah, stalking you.
Yeah, I've noticed the line following you both.
And then they often, sometimes, you know, because their bodies are so racked with
pleasure. Oh, my God.
Pleasure.
Stop talking.
And they have.
Stop talking. Have Turn off his mic.
No, I mean.
Do you have that kind of power? You do.
He's explaining to you
I don't
female
need I don't
anatomy.
Need my body explained to me. I got it.
It's.
Ew.
It's a physical equivalent of. When you've been with the Colonel or Timmy, it's a physical equivalent of being on the rack for like 30 minutes.
It's like fucking winning the lottery.
It is?
No.
But these women are often weak from the experience afterwards.
Weak in the knees.
Yeah, even
their knees will buckle.
They're too weak to lay down.
Sometimes they throw up.
Sometimes they do. So what they will say to you is, oh, please hurry. You know, and there's nothing you can say to a man that will make him take a long, long time. See, if a man suffering from premature ejaculation, all the woman has to say to him is, okay, make this a quick one. Because I don't know if you ever, you know, rolled somebody over and said, hey, it's 4 o'clock in the morning, wake up, I can't sleep. Uh-huh. And they say to you, you know, hey, make this a quick one. After you say make it a quick one, that sun going to be shining, the rooster crowing before you.
What they say to me, what they usually say to me is.
What the fuck kind of roosters do you have?
What they usually say to me is, you're not paying by the hour. So
right. All right. So
I'm just saying.
Okay. So the dramatic change, I'm going to recap.
Please.
The dramatic change of scene meant little to Lolo. Her trade was still the same, and as a hooker making house calls, she became a favorite with the local gentry. She made house calls.
She was doing the out call. That's smart. That's smart business.
Yeah.
You got to admit that's smart.
It is smart business.
It's like a traveling salesman.
Yeah.
On the side, she also pilfered jewelry from the absent wives of wealthy clients, selling off the pieces that she did not choose to keep herself.
And then what's the guy going to say? The hooker stole it?
Yeah. There's nothing
exactly.
That'll piss a woman off worse than having some whore come in and steal her jewelry.
Yeah.
That makes for a long evening when you're.
You can bang the husband.
Yeah.
But you know what? You steal the fucking pearls.
Yeah.
In time, she pushed her luck too far and was discovered.
Damn it.
Threatened with exposure, she retired to Waco, Texas, where she wooed and won Joe Appel.
You ever been wooed, Brandy?
Oh, I've been wooed.
Well, what about threatened with exposure? Because it sounds to me, from most of your stories, you've done a lot of exposing, devil.
Okay.
Have you been threatened with exposure before?
How did Dave woo you?
Joe Appel was a wildcat oil man, best known for the diamonds that studded his rings, belt buckle, and even the buttons of his clothing.
The motherfucker was a baller.
Oh, yeah.
Shot caller. One week after Joe first met Lolo, he was discovered dead. A bullet in his skull, his diamonds missing. Called before a special grand jury. Louise admitted shooting Appel down in self-defense.
Well, of course.
In air quotes. The oil man tried to rape her, she maintained, and she was forced to act accordingly. The missing jewels, forgotten, members of the jury openly applauded as they set her free. By 1913...
That's some fucked up stuff right there. But, steal a man, take his diamonds...
Shoot him in the hand.
Have the jury like...
Go, girl.
You know, I fear sometimes, Timmy, that if the Mrs. Colonel would have ever put a bullet or two in me...
She's getting a standing ovation for
yeah,
real.
Yeah, applauding.
We may do the wave. By 1913, running out of luck and ready cash in Dallas, Louise married local hotel clerk Harry Farote.
See, that does not seem like a match made in heaven. Because, well, you know, hotel clerks are cool, but they don't make the,
they don't make bank. No. They don't
you
make
know
bank.
What, though? He could get a good setup on a room.
Oh, yeah.
See, she was being entrepreneurial.
Yeah, now that's could, oh, yeah, that's smart.
Well, okay, let me entrepreneurial devil.
Don't
is like if
don't.
You're going to start
do
a business.
Do you think it would be better than the government rate?
It would be. Yeah.
It was primarily a marriage of convenience. Hers and flagrant adultery on the part of the bride soon drove Farote to hang himself in the hotel basement. Why are you laughing at this poor son of a bitch?
You know, I would have dated this woman if she'd been around.
Oh, for sure.
I'd be texting her right now.
In 1915, moving on to Denver, Louise married Richard Pete.
So hold on. She really, please come to Denver.
Yeah. Both. She's following the song.
She just said no. She said yes.
She married Richard Pete, a door-to-door, again, a door-to-door utensil salesman. You couldn't swing a dead cat without hitting the utensil salesman around.
Well, there was a big need for utensils back in the day, and you had to wait till a salesman came to your door to buy a fork.
Fork is a, they'd just been discovered. Fork.
Yeah, they didn't even have sporks back then.
No, they just...
A spoon or a fork?
They were still eating with the caveman spoon. Then all of a sudden,
they screwed up when they invented that spork, because before people had to buy a fork and they had to buy a spoon.
Yeah.
Now they could just buy a spork.
But you know what always blows me away, Timmy?
What's that?
I go into the Bed Bath & Beyond, right?
Yeah.
You can't find a good metal spork.
Oh. Why is that, Brandy?
Because adults shop at Bed Bath & Beyond.
But
except
if a spork,
you.
I mean, a spork is a utility thing. I mean, it's the perfect food
you could probably
eating
find
item.
It, you could find it at, you know, a camping store.
I want fancy silver sporks.
You cannot have a fancy silver spork. I am
sorry.
You
know, one time I went camping with a Coleman lighter, a lantern, and I caught my tent on fire. It was the damnedest thing.
Of course she did.
You like those people are naked and afraid.
I had to sleep unsheltered that night.
But at least she was warm.
Yeah. Slept by the flannel as fuck, man.
Yeah, they are. Can you see Timmy settling in for the night by his tent that is up in flames? Yeah, fuck it.
It wasn't a good experience.
It's gone. Fuck it. Jesus.
This
I didn't have to
me
take it down the next morning.
Of a short story.
So there's that.
And this is why I've had this ongoing battle. We went camping one time when the kids were little, and they was it was up at Miami Whitewater Park.
Yeah, here in Ohio.
So we decided to go camping in a tent, which is really for homeless people. I call people that camp in tents basically homeless.
I used to canoe that river, the Miami River. Yeah. And I couldn't, I didn't
I can
to,
see you as a big canoer.
No, I didn't know. I was
a
learned,
huge outdoorsman.
I didn't know how to canoe, and the girl with me didn't know how to canoe. We just went from one bank to the other all the way down the river.
Yeah, canoes are hard. Yeah, no. Canoes are hard to figure out.
Well, it's not as easy as it looks, but go ahead, Colonel.
It actually is.
We get kind of a late start on a Friday night, and it's in the fall, but it's a beautiful night, so... We get the boys, and Renee, you know, she's just a wretched woman, and especially when you're camping, she gets all bossy and everything. So I'm trying to get the tent and unload everything from the car. But before because we're getting there, we're not going to be able to cook anything, so we stop at Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Okay?
That's your first mistake.
We stop at Taco
Tuesday?
Bell. And
is it Taco Tuesday?
This is true.
No.
The first thing we're going to do is eat. before we start unloading the van, everything, and it's dark. I take the Taco Bell, the bags, I put them on the table. I'm 3 feet away, and a motherfucking raccoon
walks
right up to the picnic table, grabs my whole bag of Taco Bell, and walks off in the woods.
You should have gone after it.
And then...
Did you have a spork?
He did.
You really don't need one with Taco Bell.
No, you don't.
Think about that, Brandy.
And then about...
That's why taco is the perfect food.
Write that down.
About four of them just stood outside like this 10-foot perimeter of where we was camping. You know what I did?
No.
I went to Walmart, got me one of those high-powered air guns. They shoot the pellets. I messed up some raccoons.
That's an amazing story.
Okay. I had to throw rocks at them to get them to stay away from my campsite.
Yeah.
But they stole my Taco Bell. He walked right up on the table, looked at me. You know, they got those little tiny hands. Flip me the bird.
I'm begging you to shut up.
Grabbed his crotch.
I'm begging you.
Took my Taco Bell.
I threw my shoe at one time. It hits us because, you know, we were camping out in Georgia and they got into our supplies. And those things are vicious. I mean, raccoons are vicious. And so I threw my shoe. I was in my tent and I threw my shoe.
That was not on fire.
No. Okay. I threw my shoe. I hit the raccoon. He rolls over like 4 or 5 times. And then he gets up, grabs my shoe, and takes off. And,
that's what you get.
And I'm hopping around. You know, I'm stepping on, like, acorns or whatever. And I
acorns?
You know, whatever they are. And I'm trying to track down my shoe. It's
heroin needles, probably?
Yeah, it was traumatic.
I'm sorry that happened to you. So Lolo is in Denver.
That's why you raccoons down.
Okay, she married this utensil salesman. She bore him a daughter in 1916, but Pete's meager income did not measure up to her standards, and she took off alone for Los Angeles in 1920.
Did she leave the daughter behind?
There, while shopping for a house to rent, Louise met mining executive Jacob Denton.
Okay.
Now, and this is a homely woman, so I don't know where she...
You know what? I don't understand. We saw the picture when she was older, though.
I saw a picture of her when she was young.
This is what I don't understand.
Back in those days,
I don't run into anybody. Like, it's just like, oh, she happened onto this rich guy, and she happened onto this rich guy. Motherfuckers, I could go to Beverly Hills and never run into anybody that's got more than $5 in their pocket.
Well, she made it a point to, you know, meet people of means.
What? No. Well... She's shopping for a house to rent, and she meets mining executive Jacob Denton. Denton had a house to rent, as it so happened. He was soon persuaded to retain the property himself, acquiring Louise as a live-in companion.
Ah, oh, they're shacking up.
Oh, after several weeks of torrid sex.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was banging it.
Lolo asked Denton to marry her.
Well, he liked it.
He said, nah, baba, nah.
Oh, and he said no?
Yes, and that was a fatal error. Smiling through the rejection, Louise ordered Denton's caretaker, obviously not her anymore, to dump a ton of earth in the basement where she planned to raise mushrooms.
All right.
In quotes, Denton's favorite delicacy as a treat for her lover.
Okay. It sounds like a nice gesture on her part.
No mushrooms had sprouted by the time Denton disappeared on May 30th, 1920, but Louise had numerous explanations for curious callers.
Okay.
First, she told all of the people that came to her house that her man had quarreled with a Spanish-looking woman who became enraged and chopped off his arm with a sword.
Motherfucker. See, Colonel... So you got to be careful. Women will chop off your fucking arm with a sword.
You cannot give a woman a sharp object.
Well, although he managed to survive, told people, Jacob.
She chopped his whole damn arm off.
Well, that was her story.
This is
her story.
She's making up some fanciful tales.
Although he managed to survive, poor Jacob was embarrassed by his handicap and had to go into seclusion. Aw. Pressed by Denton's lawyer, she revised the story to incorporate an amputated leg. The missing businessman was scheduled to return.
This is like a goddamn Monty Python movie. He liked the Black Knight.
She's just making a shit up.
He lost an arm, lost a leg. It's just a flesh wound.
Well, the missing businessman was scheduled to return once he was comfortable with his artificial limb.
Do you ever really get comfortable with them?
Incredibly, these tales kept everyone at bay for several months, while Mrs. Denton threw a string of lavish parties in her absent lover's home.
Okay.
It was September by the time that Denton's lawyer grew suspicious. Well, good for him. Nothing gets by him.
Mm-hmm. He's a sharp one.
Calling on police to search the house. An hour's spade work turned up Denton's body in the basement with a bullet hole in his head.
Did he have his arms?
Well, I guess. Detectives started hunting for Lolo and traced her back to Denver, where she resumed a life of wedded bliss with Richard Pete.
She's back with Pete. She's repeating.
She is. Nice.
That was a good one, too.
Yeah, fist bump on
fist
that
bump
one.
On.
Yeah. Convicted of a murder charge in January of 1921, Lolo was sentenced to a term of life imprisonment.
What?
In the beginning. Right there.
That is a little harsh.
Well, they weren't applauding her now, were they? Yeah. In the beginning,
how you like me now?
Richard corresponded faithfully, but absence failed to make Louise's heart grow fonder of the man she left behind.
Aww.
In 1924, when several of his letters went unanswered, Pete committed suicide.
Oh, damn.
She's got the guys dropping
around. I know.
Guys dropping left and right.
It's like Chuck. The San Quentin warden.
Yeah.
Clinton Duffy once described Louise
That's
Pete.
That's a fucking name right there. Yeah. Clinton Duffy.
Clinton Duffy. That's once, a guy you don't fuck with.
No.
Here come Clinton Duffy. You just move out the way.
You just, yes sir, no sir.
Yeah. What we got here is a failure to communicate.
Okay, so he.
You ever see that time? Who said that on, that was on Cool Hand Luke,
yeah.
Right? Where they did a skit on Saturday Night Live about a bilingual prison camp. Yeah. And he said, what we got here is a failure to communicate bilingually.
Yeah.
That was a good one, Brandy.
That's amazing.
You never seen that sketch?
Oh, God, no. It's hilarious.
Damn.
Was it so, Gene Hackman? Who was that?
Yeah, it was Gene. Yeah. It's like you ain't even lived.
So once, Clinton Duffy once described Louise Pete as projecting an air of innocent sweetness which masks a heart of ice.
He went in, apparently didn't think very much of her then.
Cold
Lolo.
As ice.
She was pleased with the fact that she had much power over men, to which she bragged about it to her fellow inmates.
Oh.
It was reported that she liked to boast about the lovers she had driven to their deaths, and she especially cherished Richard's suicide as proof that even prison walls could not contain her fatal charm. In 1933, Louise was transferred from San Quentin to the prison at
Walla Walla.
No, I wish it was Walla Walla.
You love Walla Walla.
Tehachapi?
That's Strother Martin there, Colonel. It wasn't Gene Hackman.
Something like that.
Tehachapi?
Tehachapi.
That's what I said. Tehachapi.
Okay. Yeah,
Tehachapi.
And 6 years late, so you're correcting the correct thing that I said.
Well, you said it with a weird accent.
Did not.
Yeah, the accent's over the last. So.
You know,
stop.
The thing I notice is that our listeners never fact check us. So,
Six years later, on her 10th attempt to win parole, she was released from custody.
Oh.
Her ultimate release was due, in no small part, to intercession from a social worker, Margaret Logan, and her husband Arthur.
Yeah, this woman kind of gets the bad
short end of
the paroled to the care of Miss Latham. In Los Angeles, Louise was allowed to take the name Anna Lee after her favorite movie star. She found employment at a serviceman's canteen in World War II.
Ooh-wee.
In 1942, an elderly female co-worker vanished.
You know, she was doing the jitterbug. You know she was. She's probably doing that dance. What was that? The Charleston where they put their hands on their knees?
Yeah. And the Lindy.
Yeah, the Lindy. Yeah.
Okay.
You're gonna read your messages.
An elderly female co-worker vanished inexplicably, her home discovered in a state of disarray. Unlike you motherfuckers, I'm still working while all this is going on.
So I'm on
my lunch break.
We have a trail of dead bodies.
And missing jewelry.
Yes.
How long did she spend in prison altogether?
Let's see. I don't know, 8 or 9 years. Detectives called on Anna Lee, the missing woman's closest friend, and they were told that the woman had died of injuries sustained in a fall. In what may be described as monumental negligence, they bought the story, never bothering to check out Anna's background or obtain a death certificate. The kindly Mrs. Latham died in 1943, and Louise was paroled to the Logans. She married an elderly bank manager, Lee Judson in May of 1944. And on May 30th, Margaret Logan vanished without a trace. Louise telling Margaret's aged husband that his wife was in the hospital, unable to receive visitors. By late June, Louise had persuaded the authorities that Arthur Logan was insane. She had masqueraded as his sister to get him committed to a state hospital where he would die 6 months later.
This bitch, man.
It's a cold-ass woman right here, man.
Louise moved into their house with Judson. But
this
all
crazy old man walking
so
around.
So she kills the wife. She has the husband committed. And she moves her boy toy, a 90-year-old banker, into these people's homes.
This is a woman you would be dating, Timmy.
But all was not well in the household.
She's just one drug habit away from being your girlfriend, Timmy.
Tell us what happens next, Colonel.
Well, let me tell you about her downfall, Timmy.
Okay.
In short order, her husband discovered a bullet hole in one wall, Timmy.
Sounds a little suspicious, Brandon.
With a suspicious mound of earth in the garden.
Huh.
And an insurance policy naming Louise as Margaret Logan's sole beneficiary. Now, beneficiary is somebody who gets the money.
Seriously.
In an insurance policy.
Do not explain to me right now. It's too late in the day for your bullshit.
So we're just trying to make sure you can keep up with the story, Devil. That's all.
Dude, you can barely keep up with the story.
Still, Timmy.
What else? What happened?
He said nothing.
Okay.
And it remained for Louise herself to unravel this web of deception. By December 1944, Timmy, Louise's parole officer had grown suspicious of the regular reports submitted over Margaret Logan's shaky signature that contained such glowing praise for her charge. That was prose there too, Timmy.
So she's basically sending in her own probation reports.
It appears, yes. Okay. He's grown a little suspicious. So the police, they all lie hiding in the bushes one day before Christmas. And they invade the Logan home.
Okay.
And this prompts Lee Judson to voice his suspicions at last.
Okay.
Margaret Logan's body was unearthed in a garden, Timmy.
Damn it.
Whereupon Louise offered another of her patented fables.
Okay. She could spin a yarn, Brandon.
She could spin a yarn.
In this story, decrepit Arthur Logan. That's a nice picture you painted there, Timmy.
Thank you, Colonel. I'm glad one of you appreciates my writing.
Well, you know, I know you work hard on these, Timmy.
I do, indeed.
I wish I was in the war for best screenplay
on
a podcast.
Oh, my God. Give it up already.
Brandy, you should appreciate my how the words just kind of come out of my fingers.
You know what? When you pick one of my stories again, then I'll appreciate
it. That's not happening. Good.
Well, then, there you go.
Have we ever done one of your stories?
Yeah. Sylvia Likens was one of mine.
That was gruesome. Yeah, of course it was one of yours. In this story, decrepit Arthur Logan had suddenly gone insane.
There you go.
Beating his wife to death in a maniacal rage.
Maniacal.
Maniacal. It was maniacal.
Is that how it's spelled, probably?
Terrified of attracting suspicion due to her background,
Louise... She is of questionable character, Brandy.
Yeah.
Louise buried the corpse and stalled for a month before having Arthur committed to an asylum. Louise was charged with Margaret Logan's murder. Her husband booked as an accessory. Her third murder trial began, you know... You got to reevaluate your life decisions when you're on your third murder trial, Timmy.
It is a time.
Yeah, you're doing something. It's time for reflection.
It really is.
It's just time to get a life coach. Now, Pete's third murder trial began in Los Angeles in April of 1945, and prosecutors theorized that Pete had killed Margaret Logan to gain control over finances. They alleged that she killed Logan after the two had an argument over a $200 check Pete had forged in Logan's name.
What do you think about that, Brandy? What do you think about that?
I don't know.
If you'd be paying attention, maybe you'd have an opinion.
Yeah.
As in her first murder for the slaying of Jacob Denton over 20 years earlier, Pete claimed to be broke and was assigned a public defender, Ellery Cuff. Now, Cuff had
that's a nice name for an attorney.
I'm not sure.
Ellery?
Ellery's good. Cuff, I'm not sure about. Now, Cuff had an uphill battle here, Timmy, because evidence against Pete was pretty goddamn compelling.
Yeah, you got a dead body in the basement. That's pretty compelling.
Yeah. Now, for the most part, Louise sat quietly as the prosecution drew deadly parallels between the 1920 murder of Jacob Denton and the 1944 murder of Margaret Logan. However, she disrupted the trial during testimony by police chemist Ray Pinker.
Hmm.
From the witness stand, Pinker testified to a conversation between Louise and LAPD homicide captain Thad Brown. Now, in 1947, Thad Brown's brother, Finnis, would be one of the lead detectives in the Black Dahlia case, coincidentally.
Amazing.
You like how I just add those little facts and make the story a little bit more interesting?
Yes.
See, now, if listeners, if you pay attention, unlike the devil over here, who trying to get some Amazon.com coupons or whatnot, looking at porn on, I don't know what you're doing over there, but
you learn something.
She's looking at dwarf porn, little people porn.
Yeah, little people porn.
So anyway, Pinker, now Pinker's on the stand. And he said that prior to the discovery of Ms. Logan's body in a shallow grave in the backyard of a home.
All right, she's in the backyard.
Brown had faced Pete and said, Louise, you have you blown your top again and done what you did before? To which she replied, well, my friends told me that I would blow my top again, and I want to talk to Gene. That's the sheriff.
Yeah. So basically she's
the L.A. County Sheriff.
She's confirming that she...
Louise spun around in her chair at the defense table and shouted, that is not all of the conversation. Her attorney quieted her.
Wisely.
Wisely.
Simmer down.
Simmer, girl. Simmer.
Simmer down now.
Simmer down, girl. Now, Pinker testified.
Wouldn't you hate to if you were a defense attorney, wouldn't you hate to have Chuck as your client?
God. That's all I do all day. Shut the fuck
that
up.
That is not how. Hold on just a goddamn minute. That is not what I said.
That's not how I killed him.
That's not how I killed him. Now, you dumbass, if you was a good detective, you had obviously seen the hole in the back that you missed entirely there.
Yeah.
That's why I stabbed him first. I didn't stab him in the chest first. So anyway, Pinker testified as to how he found a mound covering Miss Logan's body.
He said he found a mound.
He found a mound. He said that he had observed a slight rise in the ground, which was framed by flower pots.
A slight rise.
The coppers didn't have to dig very deep before uncovering Margaret's remains.
Not very deep.
Not deep at all. A mere 8 inches. That's not all that deep. When Louise was asked to face the grave, she turned away and hit her face with her handbag.
Well, she doesn't have to look at it that clearly. What the hell's wrong with him?
She was getting some of the vapors. She couldn't even look at the woman. All of Pinker's testimonies was extremely damaging to Pete's
him?
Case.
I love how he tells the story.
Oh, my God.
In particular, he said he tested a gun found in Miss Pete's bedroom, and when he tested the bullets...
When I write, Colonel, I write in your voice.
Thank you, Timmy.
Right,
I like to think that I can bring your words to life, Timmy, and make them come off the page for the listeners. Unlike this one over here who just mails it in.
I wonder if any of our lady listeners, when they hear your voice, pleasure themselves.
Gross.
Is anybody out there touching?
Gross.
If you're touching your tingly parts right now, could you just send me a PM and let us know? Me or Timmy, either one.
Not me.
Right. Pinch your clit.
Oh!
And then message.
Your mother listens to this.
I don't know why anyone does, actually.
Your mother listens to this.
I love my mom.
Simmer down.
All right.
Yeah, so, and maybe she loves Chuck.
So if the Colonel's making you tingly, just let us know. It's better than a review on iTunes.
No, I mean, he has a lot of women on our Facebook page that find him attractive for some reason. So I'm wondering if they ever...
Why are you wondering that?
Well, I wonder.
Why do you wonder? You keep your musings to yourself.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things in this world I wonder about.
That guy, when we put the anonymous messaging thing on our front page, he got a lot of
I got a lot of dirty, explicit things.
I know.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
I know.
I forgot my username and password. I can't get back in there.
Oh, that sucks for you.
Yeah.
No, it sucks for someone who's fantasizing about it.
I know.
And he can't even get in, or can't even get into his account.
So if by chance while you're listening to this and the colonel getting you some blood flow to the tingly parts,
gross.
Just know the colonel loves you. Now Louise testified.
What do you think about that, Brandon?
Hold on, where was I at? All of Pinker's testimony was extremely damaging to Miss Pete's case. In particular, he said he tested a gun found in Miss Pete's bedroom, and when he tested the bullets, they were consistent with the .32 caliber round found lodged beneath the plaster in the living room of the Logan home.
What do you think about that, Brandy?
It's amazing.
That's damning.
Evidence. It is
ballistic
damning.
Evidence. The prosecution's case was going to be difficult to refute.
Difficult.
It must have been a tough call.
Almost impossible.
It must have been a tough call for the defense when they decided to allow Louise to take this stand.
Lolo took the stand in her own defense.
It was a tough call.
She could be volatile and unpredictable.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah. Yeah, my lawyers always advised me against it.
Your lawyers just advise you to keep your cock holster shut, and you never do.
No, I don't. I do not, and I have been put in handcuffs for it. So anyway, Louise testified to Ms. Logan.
You know, I'm sure the people at ACAST Network is very proud that they've asked us to join them.
Yeah, this is the first one. It was a little contempt charge. It was no big deal.
All right.
And the judge was wrong. They had to drop it later.
And the judge was wrong.
Yeah. Louise testified that Ms. Logan had phoned her to ask if she...
The judge applauded him as he was led out of court.
I think the rest of the people in traffic court was applauding.
Because you wouldn't shut up, and now they can sit there in silence.
I had exhibits and 8x10 color glossy photos.
Slide to the stop sign.
Yeah, it was a no left turn, and the tree was blocking the sign that said no left turn. Okay. So
that's a good argument, Brandy.
Yeah, I had my pictures. No left turn. Everything. You couldn't turn left out of this driveway, but then the city had let the tree overgrow the sign. That said, you could not.
I shouldn't have asked. Just yeah. Keep, I'm already bored with
so
this story.
So when I got
back
there,
to Lulu.
I took a bunch of pictures Lolo. Of the Whatever. Sign.
And I'm already bored with this story.
And all the sign you could see
exhausting.
With the branch hanging
the
down
story is exhausting.
Was no turn.
Motherfucker couldn't just pay $35 fine. And
no. They need to trim the hedges. Anyway.
All
right. I got out of it. All of Miss Pinker's testimony, it was damaging. Now, Louise, okay, well, to where Louise could be volatile.
Mm. Volatile?
Volatile.
Yes. Is that how it's spelled?
And unpredictable.
Excellent.
Louise testified to Ms. Logan had phoned her to ask if she could keep house for her while she was working at the Douglas Aircraft Company, Timmy. Louise went on to say. That when she arrived at the Logan home,
I'm not believing anything this lady's saying.
She found Miss Margaret badly bruised, allegedly the result of Mr. Logan, the decrepit old man, kicking her in the face. That now, how are you going to tell a 90-year-old man kick somebody in the face to death? Because he'd have fallen down after two kicks, and you know he couldn't get any ass behind that kick.
I would have applauded her.
Yeah. So anyway. Mr. Logan would be unable to refute any of this because he had died just days before.
Yeah, that's the dude that killed himself.
In the psychiatric hospital where he was undergoing treatment for the psychiatric disorder that he did not have.
Exactly.
Because she claimed to be his sister and having him committed.
Yeah.
Louise claimed.
Well, apparently he had some psychological orders because he jumped out of a window, so.
Is that in the story, or is that one of those tidbits you hold back?
He committed suicide. I don't think I put in about how he did it, but he did jump out of a window, and this was during the trial, and he was like one of the only witnesses against her.
Louise claimed to have been masquerading as his sister. Louise, it was observed, seemed pleased that Mr. Logan committed suicide due to their separation.
She was.
How much can you... fuck up somebody's life. I mean, motherfucker sitting there watching ESPN Sports Center.
you know,
the motherfucker comes and kills
you. She was honored that he jumped out of a window because he missed her.
I mean
was it because he missed her? Really, honey?
Eating yourself a grilled cheese sandwich. The authorities coming all your way. Take you to the psych ward. She kills his wife. That's just some fucked up stuff right there.
It's fucked up.
I mean, that's a tragic tale for this poor bastard. He jumps out the window.
Good Lord.
It's just a fucking... And he was on the first floor, but he was 94 years old.
So he could have tripped out the window.
I'm ending it all.
His bones just shattered. Oh my into God. Dust.
You know what to be the
what
worst?
What is wrong with the two of you?
What the, you know, be my luck, if I jumped off a building, I'd hit some yawning or something. Awning on the way down.
Yawning. You'd hit a yawning.
No, wouldn't that be fucked up? I mean, it's okay to feel like you hit the street because then you're dead. But to hit an awning or something on your way down,
it slow you down real good.
Yeah, slow you down. It hurts.
You. Well, you know that shit can hurt when you.
Yeah,
hit.
But you expect it to be a quick second or whatever. Instead, you're like a ping pong ball. Right.
Well, it's not a fucking Tom and Jerry cartoon. Fucking Wile E. Coyote or some shit.
You remember when they went back when they had the metal monkey bars, Timmy?
Yes.
My friend, who we never liked, his name was Bobby Anacamp. He climbed to the top of it, and my other friend Tom pushed him. Oh. And this motherfucker's head hit every bar on the way down. It was like a ping pong. Ding, ding, ding.
Those playgrounds back in the day, man.
They were death traps, Timmy.
First of all, that's Darwinism. You better.
Yeah, we had this slide.
Put
first
up or
of
shut
all,
up. It's a metal slide.
A metal slide.
With nails coming up out of it.
It had like 40 steps you had to climb up to get. It was about 90 feet in the air.
So you separate the weak.
And then, insult to injury, you could when you slide, it would be like. It was
your skin would stick to it, and then it would throw you forward where you'd roll off the slide, drop 40 feet.
It'd kill you. It was concrete. I mean, it was on concrete. It's like
there was no wood chips back then. There was none of that shredded up rubber.
That's how they separated the weak.
I know. And the slide would be like 240 degrees.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Oh my God, I know.
Put your legs down.
You remember the swing sets? You ever like try to loop over the bar, you know, swing so up.
We would swing and we would get so high and then we'd jump out.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah,
okay.
Oh, third asshole. Hold on.
No. My brother asshole. Did that to me. He made me, you know, try to get up and I was afraid of heights. So my brother could always talk me into doing shit. I had to do it if my brother dared me. And you remember those hard rubber flat swings?
Yeah.
I got all the way up. Timmy jumped. Landed. I was the proudest motherfucker in the whole world. Swing came back past my head. came back down. Cracked me right there. Right in the goddamn forehead. I had to get 9 stitches in my forehead from that.
That's
swing.
A rookie mistake. That's a fucking rookie mistake.
I was like, oh, my arms up in there.
He was a special needs child.
I look like Rocky.
Goddamn rookie mistake. You got to jump. How did you not jump far enough out that it didn't hit you?
Oh, you remember having like swing sideways and try to crash into each other?
No, that's a boy thing. We didn't do that.
We did that.
No, well, I jumped out far enough. The thing was, I landed, and I was all happy with myself.
But did the wind blow you back? Clearly, you didn't jump out.
I started walking back toward that way.
Clearly, you didn't jump out far enough.
No, I jumped. I landed. I was all happy.
You can't make this story better.
I was kind of jumping up and down.
You're stupid. You can't make that story better.
It didn't hit me on the way back down. It passed my head on the way back down. It was on the way back again.
You're not making that story better.
It just hit me.
Because you basically walked into it.
I did.
Well, dumbass.
I mean, a bunch of stitches. So anyway... The old man here, he jumps out the first floor window. He doesn't.
No, it wasn't a first floor window. It was like the tenth floor, I think.
Anyway, his old bones turned to dust. So, what we at here? Logan's death was a boon for Louise in another way.
Boom.
And she took full advantage of it by blaming him for his wife's death. So now.
This poor bastard.
This poor bastard. He lost his grilled cheese. He lost his house. He in the psych ward. Probably having to do laundry for the big shady, dodgy, crazy man. You know what I mean? Somebody old girlfriend in the psychiatric home. He says, fuck it, I'm jumping out the window. And now they accuse him of murder. So even in death, they took away this man's dignity, Timmy.
That's a shame.
Poor guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, they was going they drug him
back
up.
Did the jury buy it?
Well, in court, Louise was asked to recreate her story, which had Arthur Logan shooting and battering his wife, but she appeared to be squeamish. Mm. When she was shown the murder gun and asked by the judge to pick it up and demonstrate how Arthur Logan had used it to kill his wife, Louise said, I will not take up that gun in my hand.
She took umbrage at that, Brandy.
She did.
She did. Louise's attorney tried valiantly to contradict the evidence against his client.
Well, he
Louise
failed.
Seemed little concerned and showed very little interest in the proceedings, much like you show very little interest in this podcast, devil. You're going to be found guilty one day of deviating from your job.
Yeah, what was she doing?
Of desertion.
What was she doing during the trial?
She was playing Candy Crush.
No, Louise.
What was Lolo doing, you dick?
Louise, Lolo.
She was disinterested.
She was knitting.
Well, motherfucker, put that in the script then.
And she was reading a book on Chinese philosophy. I'm not making this
up. Well, you know, you can't waste that kind of time. I mean, you know.
She was reading The Importance of Living, a Chinese philosophy book, yeah. So
it was in the script.
Eventually, yeah. Now, in May 31, 1945, the jury found her.
You fucking idiot. For the record, Chuck just bounced his hand off the table and hit himself in the face. For the record, for all of those you at home,
he's the fourth stooge.
This fucking jackass just hit himself in the face on accident, trying to be a smartass.
What was the decision, Colonel?
Jesus H. Mother of Pearl.
Paul, you might be a little tingly out there. That was just a slap on the butt. So,
He's got one eye closed. It looks like Popeye. It's swelling
fucking
up.
Fucking dillweed.
It should hurt, man.
I bet it did.
Okay, what did the jury find?
The jury found guilty.
Okay.
Timmy.
Guilty, Brandy.
Guilty
of
murder.
Murder. She looked up briefly to make a mocking facial expression to the prosecutor, then resumed reading.
I wonder if she stuck her tongue out and put her hands, like her ears on her ears.
Yeah.
She jumped up on the table, grabbed her crotch. Like, I got your guilty right here, mama.
In a raspberry or bronze cheer or something.
God.
So she looked up briefly to make a mocking facial expression, but she maintained her innocence.
Of course she did.
Yeah.
So she appealed.
Yeah, of course.
And she appealed again.
Appeal that shit.
And appealed one more time.
Appeal it like a banana.
Yep.
Yeah.
But all the appeals failed, though.
About time.
About that, Brandy.
About time.
And on April 11, 1947, they took her ass to San Quentin and put her in the gas chamber, Timmy.
That's a shame.
Like directly into the gas chamber?
Yes, they did. And they turned on the gas and they let her sit there and she suffocated.
I wonder while she was waiting if she said, "Does anyone smell gas?"
It's not safe to be in here. Somebody could get hurt.
Louise became just the second woman in California history to be executed by the state. She is interred at a cemetery in Los Angeles.
Brandy.
And you know what that little monitor is saying back there and wherever the hell she was from, bumfuck Louisiana or whatever it was?
What?
I knew that shit was going to happen. I tried to tell you motherfuckers.
With a hex on her.
Well, mm-hmm. You know,
all right,
clearly.
Brandy, your final thoughts on serial killer Louise Pete.
Bitches are crazy.
All right. Mm-hmm. Colonel, your final thoughts on serial killer Louise Pete.
I feel sorry for some of these poor bastards, Timmy. I mean,
some of them.
It just goes to show you how a woman can just destroy your life, Timmy.
What do you think about that, Brandy?
And I mean, now granted, she was worse than most.
Uh-huh.
But
she wasn't atypical, is what you're saying.
She was worse. I mean, but she was basically the King Cobra.
Uh-huh.
But it's like, you know, getting bit by a king cobra or a cobra. You're still getting bit by a cobra.
Yeah.
And women will drive you to do crazy shit.
Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
Shut up.
All well, right.
It's true, though. I mean, look at all the wars that have been caused by women.
You got a good point, Colonel. Mm. Okay, so thank you all for listening. We would like to give a special shout-out to our Patreon supporters that keep us on the air. Thank you for supporting us. If you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweez, where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or
just a wee little bit, Timmy.
Just a tip. We would appreciate it very much. And Brandy, why don't you give a shout out to all the kind, generous people who support this podcast.
Daniel Bassett, Jim Moyer, Tommy Lane, Jason Dykes, Shelley Garrett, Bridget Clavey, Brandy McBride, Jennifer Savota, Maggie Glover, Daniel Sweet, Amber Anderson, They Walk Among Us, Lorna Violet, James Seabright, Michael Deo, Kelly, Karen Widner, Callie, Joseph Kerr, Lauren Meredith. Why did I feel like I already said that, but I didn't. Jessica Greeno, the Pleasing Terrors podcast, Sarah Amber Krupp, the Now American History podcast, Rebecca Osinger, Karen Alden, Cheryl, Catherine Richardson, Fiona, Laura O'Reilly, Christine Bourgeois, Maja, Aaron, Kimberly Cambron, Elise, The History Goes Bump podcast, Amber Trevino, Annette Petre, Lise, Amber Scoville, Jahara, Alicia and Chip, Dr. Jeff and Don, Andrew Happ, Karen Barnes, Richard Flynn, Holly Woodward, Shirley Strapp, Todd Long, Lydia Fisher, Tyrone, Phyllis Munson, Melissa Montoya, Brittany Martin, Jennifer Siemens, Cindy Liu, Kristen, Heather Poole, Zachary, Canadian True Crime, Charlie and Allie from Insight, Donna, John, Sue Story, Nene, Bridget Bernhard, Stacy, Christine Huer, Cheryl Weldon, Jody Wells, and Rudy the Wonder Dog. And we want to give a shout out to Dottie.
Yes, my mom.
And Lady Beverly.
Yes. Thank you all for supporting the podcast. It means everything to us. We seriously, sincerely appreciate it. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Good day.